Hello, podcast people. Todd Starnes here. Hope you are having a great day. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, folks. We're going to get to the situation involving religious liberty fights in North Carolina and Mississippi in just a little while. But first, I have to tell you about what happened with my good buddy Phil Robertson, the Duck Commander. This is just an absolutely bizarre story. But it took place in Texas at the Texas Motor Speedway. They were having the Duck Commander 500 race. And so Phil Robertson was going to deliver the invocation. And, of course, Phil Robertson is a preacher man. And I got to tell you something. When you invite Phil Robertson to come and pray, he's going to preach. It's just going to happen. And that's exactly what happened during the invocation there at the NASCAR race. Just like at every other NASCAR event, folks stand up and they take their hats off and they bow their heads and they pray. So the prayer that Phil Robertson prayed has caused massive outrage. I mean, it has freaked out the Jesus-bashing liberal lugnuts. So first, I want to play the prayer that Phil Robertson delivered at the Texas Motor Speedway. Take a listen.
We got here via Bibles and guns. I'm fixed to pray to the one who made that possible. Father, thank you for founding our nation. I pray, Father, that we don't forget who brought us, you. Our faith in the blood of Jesus and his resurrection. Help us, Father, to get back to that. Help us, dear God, understand that the men and women on my right of the U.S. military, on my right and on my left, our faith in you and the U.S. military is the reason we're still here. I pray, Father, we put a Jesus man in the White House. Help us do that and help us all to repent, to do what's right, to love you more, and to love each other. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
So look, it's a great prayer, isn't it? I mean, he mentioned the Bible and the guns, and he thanked the good Lord for the United States military, did what any good church-going Christian man would do. But the mainstream media has blown a collective head gasket here. So I must have read dozens of columns from sports commentators and journalists, and they're saying that all of these pre-race prayers at NASCAR are too Southern and too redneck, as if there's something wrong with being a Southern fried redneck. What's up with that? So these morons over at Deadspin, they called Phil an unapologetic bigot and a duck call industrialist. And then there's this lady. She writes the auto racing column for the Associated Press. And she says that old Phil's pushing an agenda. And she says that NASCAR is clouding its image with politics. Oh, it was a nasty little column. She says Democrats enjoy NASCAR too. Well, Phil didn't say anything about the Democrats or the Republicans. He just said he wanted a Jesus man in the White House. And what's wrong with that? Then this guy over at the Orlando Sentinel, the big headline over there is NASCAR doesn't need Phil Robertson's prayers. And so the guy, this David Whitley, it was a well-written column. I mean, obviously coming from a different point of view than your friendly neighborhood commentator here. But anyway, he goes, what if at next Sunday's race somebody got up and prayed for gun control, the Quran, and that a Muhammad woman would be put in the White House? What about that? I sincerely doubt a devout Muslim would be asking Allah to put a Muhammad woman anywhere near the White House. And let's be honest, I've been to Bristol. You don't see too many burqas up there in that neck of the woods, do you? You don't. So look, dingbat after dingbat after dingbat is weighing in on this mess, and it would be tempting. I've got to be honest with you. This is a confession is good for the soul. It would be tempting to tell all these folks to just blow it out their tailpipes. But that's not the Christian thing to do. And besides, look, Phil has more supporters than detractors. The people over at NBC Sports actually put up a poll on this. 80.5% support Phil Robertson. They like the prayers. And so does the president over at the Texas Motor Speedway. I love this guy. He did an interview with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and he says, look, this is all about political correctness. And typically, the folks who hold to the gun-toting, Bible-clinging viewpoint in America are the ones that are constantly told to shut up. So anyway, look, prayer is just, it's an important part of the Southern culture. And you guys know I was born in Tennessee, Memphis, and grew up in North Mississippi. It's what we do. It's who we are. I mean, look, you're asking one minute, you're asking the good Lord to bless the butter beans, and the next minute you're offering an unspoken prayer request at the Wednesday night Bible study at the church. So look, they can prayer shame all they want to, the mainstream media. But I don't think that NASCAR is going to get rid of the pregame prayers, the pre-race prayers. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, just think about this. I mean, NASCAR without Jesus would be like biscuits without gravy. I mean, who wants that? Check out my entire column. You can read the entire column I wrote on this at toddstarnes.com. Would love for you to weigh in, and a lot of people already have. We've got several hundred folks that are going back and forth on this issue, but I think you'll get a good kick out of it. So while we're on the subject of sports, I want to weigh in on this Kentucky Derby controversy. I don't know if you guys read my column about this, but apparently there is a bit of hullabaloo surrounding a Kentucky Derby-themed party at Dartmouth College. Now, Dartmouth is one of the Ivy League schools, and the girls over at Kappa Delta, the sorority, were going to throw a big shindig, you know, wear the fancy hats and get boozed up, you know, with mint juleps. And I got to tell you something. When you read my column on this at toddstarnes.com, you might want to make a batch of mint juleps because you're going to need it by about the fourth paragraph. So all of this controversy actually started back in 2015. There were these Black Lives Matters protesters, and they protested the Kentucky Derby party. And they said that the Kentucky Derby party was overtly racist, and it actually created this antebellum atmosphere on campus. They said it reminded them of the pre-war South. So anyway, the Kappa Delta girls, they were like, oh, we can't offend anybody, so we're going to have to cancel our Kentucky Derby party. And that's exactly what they did. Now, all of this would still not make much sense, but let's just assume that for the sake of our conversation here, that the Black Lives Matters protesters actually have a legitimate argument that the Kentucky Derby is this bastion of racism from the Civil War days. There's just a teensy, tiny little problem, though, with their argument. The Kentucky Derby was started 10 years after the Civil War. They started the Kentucky Derby during Reconstruction, not the Civil War. And on top of that, Kentucky was neutral during the Civil War. They weren't Confederates. But the truth doesn't matter anymore, does it? It doesn't matter at all. If you believe the Black Lives Matters protesters, they actually seem to think that there was genocide happening at the Kentucky Derby. Now, I did a search of the New York Times archives on this issue, and I could find no evidence of anybody getting beat up. I could find no evidence of any ethnic cleansings there at Churchill Downs. Just a lot of fancy hats and boozed up Southerners drinking the mint juleps. So look, you just want to bang your head on the desk some days, folks. I just really do. So I want people to understand their reasoning here. If in fact the Kentucky Derby represents the pre-war South, and that's why you can't have the Kentucky Derby, then what about cotton? I mean, cotton was a significant part of the pre-war South, and a significant part of pre-war Southern culture. So are we supposed to ignore the television commercials that tell us that cotton is the fabric of our lives? Are we supposed to round up all of our clothes made out of cotton and throw them in a big bonfire? That makes about as much sense as saying that Colonel Sanders is racist because he fries chicken. But if you ask me, it sounds like somebody over at Dartmouth has been smoking the 11 herbs and spices. What a bunch of finger-licking morons. Sweet mercy, America. This is what's happening on our college campuses, our Ivy League campuses. See, this is why I believe in a kudzu education. Go to one of those southern schools. At least they still have a lick of common sense. Now, I promised I'd get to the situation in Mississippi and North Carolina. I've been covering this around the clock in our commentaries. This issue involving transgenderism and the anti-discrimination laws that are popping up all over the place. I predicted, folks, two or three years ago, I predicted that the transgender issue would be the next big battlefield in this culture war. And let me tell you something, this thing has exploded. You've got moms and dads across the fruited plain that are furious because school districts are now opening up the locker rooms and opening up the bathrooms, even opening up the sports teams to people of the opposite sex. It's just mind-boggling. And what's even more disturbing is that moms and dads who do have an issue with their daughters using the bathrooms with individuals who have male body parts, those people are somehow being labeled as transphobic or bigots or haters. It's as if these moms and dads, in the eyes of many school officials, don't have any legitimate gripes, legitimate concerns. Look, there, you guys might remember this story. It was a couple of years ago when the transgender issue and this bathroom issue was just starting to emerge on the national scene. And there was a school district in Massachusetts right around Boston. And the parents were just livid. They're like, how could you do this? This is a safety issue. And the school district actually told a parent that if their daughter kept complaining about boys in the girls' room, in the girls' restroom, that the guy's daughter would be the one who would get in trouble. This is how warped society is now, that young ladies no longer have privacy in the ladies' rooms. And I said this in my commentary, I wrote about this in my column, and I want to say it again, because the left-wing liars and agitators will take everything that I say out of context here. But this is not about the transgender issue. This is about, as the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina told me, this is about the bad actors out there, men who will come into the ladies' room with very bad intentions, perhaps under the guise of this whole transgender issue. So this isn't about transgenderism. This is about privacy. This is about protecting children in the restrooms and the locker rooms. And of course, as we all know, the left, especially big business and Hollywood, have basically been trying to shove these left-wing values down our throats. It's bullies, it's intimidation, and they're doing it in states all over the South. Well, North Carolina especially, where PayPal has decided they're not going to build an operation center. It was supposed to hire more than 400 people. They were going to hire more than 400 people. You guys have read the stories. And they're saying because North Carolina wants to protect people, then they're not going to bring their business to North Carolina. And the governor said, fine, whatever. But we are going to stand with the people. Now, this bill that was passed in North Carolina has nothing to do with religion. This has everything to do with the state telling the city of Charlotte, you don't have a right to tell a business how they can run their affairs. You don't have that right. So leading the charge on all of this and trying to get us information on what's happening in North Carolina and Mississippi has been the American Family Association. These guys have been on top of all of this chaos. Walker Wildman is on the phone now from Tupelo. Walker, we understand that you guys have made a decision about PayPal as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Last week, on Friday of last week, we met that morning and decided that as an organization, we were no longer going to use PayPal, and we were going to set the stage for other groups to cancel their PayPal accounts too.
Walker, I know you guys have done, you know, protests in the past. I'm not a huge fan of the boycotts. You know, my philosophy is, look, I don't tell people how they should spend their money. I personally will make those decisions. But it seems to me that the left has taken a page from the boycotts of the past, and they're trying to facilitate their change, trying to facilitate their ideology and force it on states like North Carolina and Mississippi.
Yeah, and that's interesting you say that, because those are the kind of discussions we had before we made this decision. Is, you know, if you notice in our press release and everything, we didn't use the word boycott, and we did that for a reason, is because nowadays, like you mentioned, boycotts, some people disagree with them on principle, but we try to stay away from them nowadays because they seem to not work. These companies have so much money, so much business that, you know, their pocketbooks aren't easily affected by a boycott. So this was more of a principled stance by asking our supporters and fellow pro-family organizations to cancel their PayPal accounts, not as a boycott, but as a statement. And hopefully it will send a message to the rest of corporate America that they need to stay out of these local issues and quit telling states how to live.
You know, I think also Family Research Council followed AFA's lead there in canceling their PayPal accounts as well. What's the message here for people of faith and folks who, you know, ascribe to traditional American values? So what do they need to be doing with companies like PayPal and Disney and Coca-Cola?
Well, sometimes it's hard with the capitalism. With a capitalist a country we live in, it's hard to avoid using companies that don't agree with you on everything because they're everywhere. I mean, the market provides all these products, and it's hard to keep up with where a company stands on every issue. But on situations like this, I mean, this is prime. This is in your face. What PayPal is doing is in your face to all Christians and everyone else who is in favor of this common sense legislation in North Carolina. The bill simply says that biological men go to men's restrooms and biological women go to women's restrooms. And so this was a no-brainer for us on whether we're going to keep using PayPal or not.
Look, no, I hear what you're saying, because you know, I tried to do the whole boycott Google thing, and I got to be honest with you, Walker, Bing wasn't doing it for me. I had to go back to, you know what I mean? So, I mean, obviously there are going to be some things that, you know, that you're not going to be able to not use. But those areas that you can, I know I've already said goodbye to Coca-Cola. It's killing me. I love my Diet Coke in the morning, Walker.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been a very pleasant person.
Yeah,
without the caffeine.
I agree with you. But my response to that would be, you just have to choose your battles, you know.
Sure.
Pick which battles you think you can win and which battles you can't. And that's what our organization's been doing for over 40 years now. Is picking which battles we think we have a chance at winning. And, you know, if PayPal ends up, I don't think they will because they're so entrenched in this, but, you know, if they were to somehow come out and apologize for what they're doing to North Carolina, then we just proved that we're fighting a winnable war here.
You know, and again, facts and truth are just irrelevant these days in this culture here. But the facts of this law in North Carolina are very clear. This has nothing to do with the transgender issue. This has everything to do with keeping men out of the ladies' room. And the lieutenant governor, you know, we sat down and did an interview with him, a very nice fellow. And Walker, he clearly said this was about those bad actors, those people who would take advantage of such an opportunity.
Right.
So what gets me, though, you know, over the weekend, Bruce Springsteen announced that he was canceling one of his concerts there, I think in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I put out a very simple tweet, because if you are opposed to what the North Carolina legislature did, that means you support letting men into the ladies' room.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, exactly. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, for example, if you have, I have a little nephew that's just a couple months old, but when she turns 5 or 6, the question I have to ask myself and her parents have to ask is, do I want pedophiles misusing these laws and using the loophole to allow men into women's restrooms? And we have an example in Washington State just not too long ago. They're at a swimming pool. They're at a public swimming pool. Some of the youth girls and some of the moms were in the women's changing room getting ready to go swim some laps, and a man walks in and starts taking off his robe. Well, they throw a fit and go to the front desk. Well, all the front desk said was, well, he didn't identify as a transgender when he walked in the door, so there's nothing, you know. So they went and got on to him. But anyways, point being is, if you identify when you walk in the building as a transgender, then you can go wherever you want to go. And that's the dangers with these laws.
You know, last year there was a report out of Toronto. The University of Toronto actually decided to do away with their transgender bathrooms because they were having issues with men coming in and doing the whole peeping Tom business.
Right.
So, again, it can't be stated enough. This is not about transgenders. These are about the bad actors, and that was the language the lieutenant governor used here. But still, it seems to me, Walker, that what we've seen from Hollywood and from big business is this idea that they can come in and bully you. They can bully the states into submission and doing the will of the cultural activist and the militants.
Well, yeah, and that's interesting, because the many states, such as Mississippi, we offer grants and bonds to some of these companies, you know, as an incentive to move here. But the interesting thing that we're finding out here is our government uses taxpayer dollars as incentive to bring these corporations into our state for business purposes, which is a good motive. But then they move in here, and then they want to tell us how to live. So it's really backwards here. If you want to come into our state and use our taxpayer dollars as an incentive, don't come in here and try to tell us how to live.
Joining us on the podcast is Walker Wildman from the American Family Association in Mississippi. Walker, what are you hearing from your listeners? You guys have more than, 200 radio stations all across the country. What are you hearing from folks?
Yeah, just over the weekend, we've only issued a press release, but this morning we're putting together an action alert to our 850,000 email list. And just over the weekend, I heard from dozens of our supporters who are already canceling their PayPal accounts, and that's before we even have really gone public much with this. So I'm expecting in the upcoming days that we're going to hear from hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals who say, well, I'm not going to use PayPal if they're going to put my daughter and my wives at risk.
And I think, and again, it goes back to this idea of Hollywood and big business trying to tell us how to run our lives and how to run our businesses. You know, this law, and all the state of North Carolina was trying to do is say, you know what, a city in North Carolina doesn't have the right to tell a business what they should be doing.
Right.
They don't have that right. So if Walker, right now, if a company, if a business, say, let's say Applebee's wanted to have bathrooms for everybody, they are more than welcome to do that under the North Carolina law right now. So I just don't understand why the left is trying to make this law something that it is not.
Yeah, well, and that's what they do with a lot of these bills, such as the RFRAs and these bathroom bills. Is if you actually read the bills, the term transgendered or homosexual or LGBT is never mentioned in these bills, but they somehow turn around and they turn these bills into being against them, when really these bills, in essence, have nothing to do with what they claim it does.
Well, that's right. As a matter of fact, the North Carolina law isn't even a religious liberty bill. But I want to switch gears here, Walker, and I want you to weigh in on this. One of the things that we did, I wrote a column about this, exposing the hypocrisy of these businesses like PayPal, like Coca-Cola, like Disney, like Ellen DeGeneres, who, by the way, slammed you guys in the great state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
And yet they're doing business and vacationing in countries that that make it a crime to be gay. And in some cases, it's punishable by death.
And if these corporations won't take a moral stance, that's fine. But they're going to need to apply their principles and their morals across the board, no matter what country or state they're operating in. And another interesting thing is it's fairly silly that PayPal, we got to put this into perspective. PayPal is boycotting North Carolina because they passed a law that said men go to men's restrooms, women go to women's restrooms. I wrote in one of my articles recently, if these corporations want to lobby for grants or for tax benefits, that makes perfect sense. But to lobby over who goes to what bathroom seems kind of trivial in this day and age.
The website, folks, for you to get more information, read Walker's column is afa.net. Walker, you are one of the millennials. You're one of the young guys.
Yeah.
What's your generation saying? You know, if you believe what you see on television and listen to on the radio, millennials are really not engaged in the culture war and the fight for religious liberty. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, I've noticed that either my generation, either they're in the trenches, they know what they believe, and they're fighting for conservative principles, are they really out of the loop on all of this? And they seem to go with wherever the culture trends, and wherever Hollywood goes. So you know, that's, I know some of my friends that know all this ruckus is nonsense over a bathroom bill. But you know, a lot of my generation, they're not informed. They don't read legislation like this. They just go by whatever so and so says on their Twitter feed. And that's really a habit we have to break here. And so we're trying to inform and equip Christians here to know what they believe and why they believe it.
All right. Walker, thank you so much for hanging out with us. The website, again, afa.net. You got to read Walker's column. It's really great stuff. And, again, folks, we're not saying boycott. We're encouraging you to make decisions about how you spend your money. I know I've already made that decision personally. American Family Association's already done that as well. And now it's up to you to consider what you will do. Walker, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Todd.
A lot of stuff today, folks, on the podcast. I hope you've had a great time. Be sure to check out toddstarnes.com. You can read all of my columns. You can weigh in on a lot of the issues that we've talked about here. And also, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go back to the front page of iTunes and give us a rating. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think about the podcast. We'd love to know that. And also, we're always giving out free stuff, and we will pick one of those reviews. And the winner will receive a signed copy of my latest book. Folks, again, thank you so much for being a part of what we do here. Thank you so much for being a faithful listener, and I'll see you next week.